Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. This week at Dell Technologies World. I keep wanting to call it Dell EMC World, but obviously I need to get out of that. I'm joined by Cam Eschke. Cam, could you just introduce yourself and the company, and, sure. And then we'll start the conversation.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. So I am part of Lightbits Labs. Lightbits is a Israeli-based startup. We have offices in Silicon Valley and New York City, about 3 years old. And what we build is a software-defined solution for disaggregation, separating storage from compute so you can scale them independently. You can get operational efficiencies and better utilization of your infrastructure. And we do all that over standard TCP IP. So we pioneered a new approach called NVMe over TCP that allows any compute node to connect to any storage node within a large data center and provide storage at performance, which is equivalent to direct attached storage.
Okay, great. That's a wonderful bit of background there to start us off. And obviously, for anybody who's listening, this is about NVMe, and specifically NVMe over fabrics, of which NVMe over TCP is a component. Now, just to set some background for people who may not understand the technology in enough detail yet, because it's really, I would say, quite an emerging, quite a new technology.
That's right.
Obviously, NVMe initially was a device-connected protocol for drives that were put into a server.
Yes.
For example, and we're at the Dell show, and Dell have had that, they said earlier today, for about 3 years in their server platform, and obviously in laptops and so on. But what we're talking about here is being able to take that NVMe protocol and push that across the network.
Exactly.
And typically, we already see existing network protocols like RDMA and obviously
Fibre Channel
and so on. And they exist today, but obviously they do have a certain degree of issue with them in terms of the way you use them, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah, Chris, as you said, NVMe has actually been around for many years. It was originally defined back in 2010 as a direct attached host control interface for PCIe SSDs. And then a few years later, we started looking at, well, what if we were to extend NVMe to remote pool of SSDs? And that way be able to separate storage and compute and do that over different fabrics. Initially, so that's how NVMe over fabrics was born. Initially, it was defined for RDMA and fiber channel fabrics, which work really well for smaller scale deployments. Fiber channel, of course, has been around in enterprise for many years, and for any sort of brownfield enterprise deployment where you want to continue to use your existing fiber channel infrastructure, NVMe over fiber channel makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But then we started 3 years ago, and we worked with customers to help them with this disaggregation of storage and compute. And we realized that NVMe over RDMA is really not an option when you're deploying at scale. It's not intended for data center scale separation of storage and compute. We came up with NVMe over TCP approach. Our spec got the attention of Facebook. We did a demo with Facebook back in summer of 2017, where we showed how we can get latencies that are equivalent to direct attached and run it over standard vanilla TCP IP. So the model is run the software on the storage server, don't touch the clients because NVMe over TCP is now a standard,
yep.
Don't need to touch the networks, and you get volumes attached to your compute nodes that behave as if, you know, from an application point of view, the performance is indistinguishable between direct attached and this disaggregated model.
Okay, brilliant. Right, so let's dig down into why using NVMe over TCP from a hardware perspective and a device perspective is going to be more practical than RDMA. Now, from my simple mind, I think the obvious thing is that RDMA NICs are a more expensive piece of technology, as are the switches.
Right.
And you would be going back to that day of fiber channel where when you built a fiber channel network, it was very much separate hardware, separate switches, separate devices, and a whole set of management processes that went around knowing and understanding fiber channel.
Right.
It seems to me that if you go down the RDMA route, you're to a certain degree going down something similar.
That's right. Well, first of all, with RDMA, you need an RDMA NIC in every single client, which is an issue for many deployments where they don't have that already deployed. So if you go into a large data center, let's say a cloud service provider or web scaler, and you say you got to change, you know, all 50,000 or 100,000 nodes to support RDMA NICs, that's a big undertaking. So that just right off the bat, that becomes a sort of a big hurdle for RDMA. then you have to make sure your network can support close to lossless connectivity between the compute and storage nodes, which, again, is very difficult to do at scale. Whereas with TCP/IP, you can have, you know, we take our solution to set up POCs within a few hours, and you can connect compute nodes that are 5-6 hops away, networking hops away, and connect them, and you don't have any issues there. So with RDMA, there is a networking infrastructure setup that's required, which is extremely complex. And then, as you mentioned, there's also interoperability issues between different vendors. Some of that is going to be addressed over time, but still, RDMA seems to be much more suitable for, you know, rack scale storage as opposed to really connecting any storage node to any compute node in a data center.
Right. Okay. So that's an interesting distinction. Let's just talk about that for a second. Would we see RDMA being a solution where people perhaps put in top of rack RDMA switch, lots of nodes that have got RDMA NICs in them, and some storage somewhere to connect as a model? That's one way of doing it from a rack scale perspective. But you weren't looking at that. You were looking at the idea that within my data center, I might have storage anywhere potentially.
Exactly.
In different boxes, and a server sitting in rack one might want to connect to something that's sitting in rack 26. You know,
that's right.
A couple of hops away, maybe even a couple of racks away.
Maybe even a data center away.
Maybe, okay.
Yeah, so we have, I'll give you an example. We have a Fortune 500 cloud service provider that is using us with live production traffic today. And their model is to put a storage server eventually in every rack. And that storage server is not servicing just that rack, but it's actually got east-west traffic to compute nodes that are anywhere in the data center. And that way they can create a cluster with whatever ratio of storage to compute that they want, and depending on the application, the workload, and the resources could be spread out throughout the data center. They run the workload, and then they can free up the resources and set it up for something else. And by the way, they did even try connections between data centers. Of course, the latency is higher because
yes,
you're going across
absolutely.
Data centers, but it still works. You can still connect. It's TCP/IP. That's the beauty of the simplicity of TCP/IP, that you can enable really any-to-any connection.
Now, the one thing that would strike me as being the most obvious issue here is within TCP/IP and my own limited networking knowledge, I'm not an anywhere networking person. That's somebody else's job in the world. But, you know, from my limited knowledge, I know that there is an issue with using TCP/IP in terms of latency, in terms of the way that the network responds and handles
right.
retries and various other features. How are you getting over all of those potential risks? Because when you're looking at storage data,
right.
you can't afford to drop packets, you can't afford to lose data. You know, you've sort of got to somehow marry the two up.
Absolutely. If you look at the entire latency that an application sees and what's contributing to it, most of it actually comes from the SSD itself. So you're right in that if your network is already congested, then you have to upgrade the network to be able to support storage over the network. Most of the customers, almost all the customers that we're talking to, and we're mostly focused on cloud service providers and also private cloud in enterprise, they already have plenty of headroom in their
right.
networking infrastructure.
Okay.
They have they're maybe utilizing 20%. So they don't get into a situation where they're congested and they're losing packets. One of the things that we've done is on the target side, so on the client side, we're relying on the standard NVMe with TCP drivers, which we contributed to the community, and it's upstream, and it's being enhanced by the whole community. On the target side, we have our own optimized stack, and that optimized stack includes end-to-end flow control and optimizations that get us much better latency and performance than what you can get with the standard code on the target side. So there are things you can do to improve and reduce the packet drops.
Right.
And then also, in our Lightbit solution, we have a global FTL, a layer of software that is managing the SSDs that will reduce latency of the SSDs themselves. So, for example, when you avoid conflicts between reads and writes going to the SSDs, you can dramatically improve your latency, especially your tail latency, the consistency of the latency. So we put a lot of emphasis on how do we get better latency out of the SSDs? Because that's the biggest contributor to the overall latency.
Okay, so let's think about then deployment of the technology. Because the first and one of the earliest comments you made was the fact that, you know, if you're looking at a large data center and you're a cloud service provider, or you mentioned Facebook as one of your example customers using effectively generic technology or open compute type technology,
right.
I guess.
They've been a partner.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm not saying they're necessarily using it. I'm just using that as an example.
Yes.
It seems pretty obvious that if you've got the ability to put in something where you just have one NIC or two NICs or a small number of NICs in a standard server,
right.
This basically gives you flexibility to become much more composable with your infrastructure.
Exactly.
The server could be one thing one day, one thing the next.
That's
and
right.
I guess even servers could be storage servers as well as host servers. There's no reason why a storage device would need to be specific to that.
Exactly. It's the same server, right? So you
yeah.
could... the customer is buying these servers and deploying it and deciding later on what software stack to run to either turn it into a Lightbit storage server or something else. It can even be an application server. And so the deployment is very, very simple. And we do support different size hardware platforms, right? It could be we have customers that are using these micro storage servers that only have four SSDs on them, all the way to, you know, OCP with 32 SSDs. With Dell, we have a partnership where we are selling through them, through the Dell OEM team,
okay.
where they take our acceleration card and integrate it into their server. It's Dell 740 XD server, and they are shipping it to a customer. So we're going to see more of that kind of model where if our acceleration card is used, we have a server partner that is actually doing the integration. And if it's a software-only approach, then you know the customer can just install it on their own.
Okay, so let's divide the discussion there slightly a little.
Sure.
If I was a customer, I could come along and choose that technology, and when I say that technology, I mean NVMe over TCP because this is now ratified and part of standards.
Correct.
And you've obviously worked to put that in place, and that's been adopted. And
yes.
It's already there. So theoretically, if I wanted to write my own target, I guess I could write my own storage platform if I really wanted to.
Yes.
Although that might be a bit of work. Some cloud providers might choose that as a route. But effectively, the other part of your company, or the main part of what you're doing, is selling the target side as a software solution or even as a hardware solution.
That's right. So there is a referenced code available for the target implementation of NVMe over TCP. Which is actually based on the code that we provided to the community. And what we, you know, so that is available. And if anybody wants to pick that up and build a solution around it, that's one option. Of course, we would love to get more and more adoption of NVMe over TCP. I think, you know, the larger and healthier the ecosystem, the better for the whole industry. In terms of our implementation, we optimized the NVMe over TCP stack, which gives you roughly 2 to 3x better performance than the standard code, just coming derived from that target proprietary implementation that we have. In addition, we have the management of the SSDs through the backend software that we have that we call Global FTL, which gives you additional benefits in terms of better endurance of the SSDs and lower tail latency. And data services that you get, like compression, erasure coding, again, if you were to compare to direct attached storage, you don't get those data services either. So we make better use of the SSDs and provide a more optimized connection with our NVMe over TCP connection.
Okay. We can probably hear the music cranking up a bit outside there somewhere. I don't know where that's coming from. It seems to be a standard scenario in doing these recordings, which is quite funny. But I think everybody should still be able to hear us okay and enjoy the music in the background as well. So let's talk about enterprise customers then.
Sure.
So if I'm, 'cause I think from a cloud service provider, I can see that the logic to that is pretty straightforward. They're going to rack generic hardware, you know, really straightforwardly and then just configure up on
Correct.
Demand. What about enterprise customers who maybe want to look at things like ensuring that they've got the security policies in place that need to, I guess, build and design like they would have taken, say, some of the EMC technology that's on the floor today
Right.
as a storage platform. How are they sort of taking the technology and using it? Is there any difference to the way a CSP would use it?
Yes, it is. In fact, for enterprise, we have a product called Super SSD, which is basically a storage appliance that uses our technology inside of the box. And today, that storage appliance is a Dell 740 XD that is running our LightOS disaggregation software and has our LightField acceleration card built in. And it's a complete solution. So it comes.
Sorry to interrupt, but just remind us about the acceleration cards. Did we go into detail about it? I don't think we did. Did we?
Actually, we did not. So
let's just say
briefly.
Explain what the card actually does.
Sure. The card is a PCIe add-in card. It's really the only piece of hardware that we build, and it's a storage acceleration card that's sitting in the back and working with our software to accelerate data reduction, data protection. It does accelerate NVMe over TCP, and it also accelerates some of the global FTL functions. So if you have a storage server platform that has a sort of a mid-range CPU inside of it or lower core count, with the card you can still get wire speed performance on all those data services.
Okay.
It's optional.
Yeah.
So, for example, for many AMD EPYC-based storage servers where there's plenty of cores, you don't need the card.
Yeah.
Or if you have a more premium, you know, like a platinum version of the Intel Xeon, you don't need the card. But if you want, you know, there's this trade-off between CPU cores versus the card. So SuperSSD already has the card built in.
Okay.
It has our software running. It's in a Dell platform. And we sell it as a complete solution. So it's really plug and play. It comes with management orchestration. It has 200 gigabit Ethernet ports and capacity that goes up to hundreds of terabytes. Very easy to consume. And for enterprise, that seems to be where we're getting a lot of traction because they want to buy a complete solution. And one thing to add to that is that we're also working with VMware because vSAN is seeing interest from customers, their customers, where they say, I want to just be able to scale my storage without having to add another HCI node and buy another license. And, you know, it's they're seeing their storage grow faster than their CPU performance. So we're in a partnership now with VMware, and we're building a complete solution with them, allowing vSAN customers to be able to scale storage independently from compute.
Okay, so how does that, just out of interest, how does that work? Does that mean your technology will sit alongside, and there'll be some sort of, initiator device in ESX that will talk to your platform?
Yes. So I won't get into too much details because I get into trouble for that.
That's fine, but we can make it a teaser for everybody.
At a high level, let me just say that if you have any sort of SAN infrastructure where you have compute nodes that have internal SSDs, but want to be able to scale storage separately, they can do it. They can attach to a Lightbits storage server. It could be a super SSD, and then basically get any size volume that they want, connect it, and then they have access to that volume as if it's a direct attached storage.
Okay, so it's like the experience of vSAN, but not necessarily the hardware installation and process that goes around deploying vSAN.
It's not another vSAN HCI node, but it's extending the storage of existing nodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, so if people want to follow up and find out a bit more about the technology, where would they go on your website? What's your website?
Lightbitslabs.com.
Okay, brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you one question to finish off, and that's around the whole idea of where we think this is going to go and where it's going to end up. I'd imagine that you might say, TCP, NVMe over TCP will be the platform that will take, or the protocol that will take over. But do you really think that's where we're going to end up? I mean, if you look at the way that customers are consuming NVMe as over fabrics, do you think the TCP implementation is the most logical?
I think it's absolutely going to take off because the whole idea of NVMe over fabrics makes a lot of sense, but it's been limited by the difficulty in adopting some of the existing fabrics. With NVMe over TCP, you completely unleash the potential of NVMe over fabrics. So how is this going to be, what is this replacing? Well, there's really two areas. One is, as we said, direct attached storage, where you already have high performance, but the infrastructure is underutilized. You have stranded capacity. There's no reason to do that anymore because you can do disaggregation in a very simple way and get equivalent performance.
Yeah.
And the second is traditional SAN, where, you know, like iSCSI, where you have high, you know, separation and centralized storage, and you have these data services, but you're getting low performance. So we can get orders of magnitude faster than iSCSI out of NVMe over TCP. So essentially, we're converging the DAS and the traditional SAN into a new approach, which is based on NVMe over fabrics and is easy to deploy.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing how it develops over the coming months and years. I think this is still an evolving area, and it's still an interesting area where customers who are probably used to things like iSCSI and Fibre Channel are still trying to work out where they should go with it. So I think it'll be great to, you know, come back in 6 months and see where we stand with it. But for now, Cam, thanks for joining me, and appreciate it, and catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.